Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams. Nathan, not a fan of this All-Star sing-along, huh?
I'm not, but I am a fan of Atlanta. I'm a fan of the Battery. It's a great place, and I was lucky. I hijacked your segment here with a quick story, but when I was at the Battery in 2019, we were heading down to Florida for a vacation. You stopped in Atlanta to see the park, right? We're there for one night. They used to do Hank Aaron Week. This is 2018, 2019.
When the park opened, 19, Truist?
I think so. I think I was there in the first year it opened. And I cannot say enough good things about the park, right? We want downtown baseball, and I get that people, a lot of people think that's where baseball should go. But if what we had was similar to the Battery, I would not be disappointed at all. It's a great place.
I went to the original. Well, not the original, but the Turner Field.
Yeah, which is still sitting there, by the way.
It opens in 96, yeah. So it's
only open for 21, 22 seasons.
Yeah, for football now.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, we're walking up to the seats. We're walking through the concourse, and I did not know it was Hank Aaron night, but all of a sudden, you know, big crowd filing in their seats down the concourse, and here comes a golf cart, and they're yelling from behind, you know, hey, you know, make some room, make some room. Golf cart comes by, and a few people in front of me didn't hear the message, so the golf cart stops right in front of me. Sitting on the back of the golf cart facing, I mean, closer than me and you, like we're eye to eye, is Hank Aaron. He's sitting there on the golf cart. Wow. And all I could say was, how you doing, sir? And he just nodded his head. And then, you know, the people moved
in
the golf cart.
Welcome to the stadium.
Golf cart pulled off. And, you know, my partner at the time, she had no idea. And I'm like, you have no conception of how incredible what just happened was. And I felt like I was floating the rest of the night. It was like, I was just face to face with Hank Aaron.
Well, that's what teams want. Teams want that Battery concept for football and baseball. Football, it's a SoFi and all the things that are around the stadium. They want that. Like, they want that because right now you have nothing but to be honest with you, a Taco Bell.
Yeah, well, and, that's it. You know, Marietta, and it is to Atlanta what Overland Park is to Kansas City. So all
it's
I'm
where
saying
their season
is,
ticket base was.
Right, and it's the business, you know, hub of the area, and I understand that. I would rather the stadium be downtown. I that's the vision I have in my mind. All I'm saying, though, is if what we did have were to mimic the Battery, we'd be in a great spot. It's a great place for a game.
So anyway, as far as the NFL is concerned, ESPN does this. I don't know if you glance at this or not, but the execs, every year they do this, and this is fun. Execs, coaches, and scouts rank the NFL top 10 quarterbacks, right? I would much rather hear this than Mark Schlereth, you know, Craig Carton, you know, any of these guys. You name any of them.
Too soon.
No, just any of these guys doing quarterback rankings, right? I mean, do you really want to hear it? I mean, I don't. I mean, we look at them and look at them, but
this is part of the sports calendar.
Acho, we care what Acho has to say.
That's what you get this time of the year, Bink, because so-and-so has a list.
It's list season.
Yep.
But anyway, I like this, though, because it's actual people in the NFL. Because I will contend that no matter what the media says or whatever, if 32 teams have the number one pick in the draft, they're getting Mahomes. 29, they're still getting Mahomes.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, that's what they're doing. If anybody else is available, that's who they're grabbing. They say, this is what, from ESPN, Mahomes' grip on the top spot is loosening slightly. After dominating the vote, he's number one, by the way. After dominating the voting with back-to-back number one rankings, in convincing fashion, Mahomes garnered around 60% of the first place votes. That's it. That means 40% did not vote for him, which is still impressive, they say, but well short of last year when he received all but one first place vote. Finished eighth in QBR the past 2 years, but from 2018 through 2022, he finished first or second four times. So, yes. But I look at everything. I look at the fact that he basically played most of the season without his one and two. And asked a rookie, an undersized rookie, and Xavier Worthy to step up and be that dude. Xavier Worthy, we all know it. Listen, at Texas, he led that team in yards and receptions for three straight years when he was a Longhorn. For two of those 3 years, he led them in touchdowns. The other year, he was just second. Had a punt return touchdown, did everything. But you saw the sideline, the placement, where he'd be, sometimes was out of bounds, not exactly in. And he had some things to learn in the NFL. But it was step-up young man. Now, he was going to come in and be behind Hollywood and Rasheed and, you know, just gravy training his way to a good season, right? Well, then things changed, and he had to be the dude. Because you're not going to throw Justin Watson all the time. You know, that was an option, but it had to be an option. It had to be an option. They had to make do with what they had. And Kelce wasn't having his best of years, still having catches, but the yards after catch, stuff like that, was down. And so Mahomes still wins 15 games, and he goes to the Super Bowl, won the division by four games. And, you know, even the year before, when everybody thought the sky was falling on the Chiefs, right, and they weren't doing anything, and, oh, my God, the sky's falling on the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not going to be able to do it. And they were 9-6 on Christmas. Remember that? The Raiders came in and beat them. Oh, man, the sky's falling. Yeah. Then they barely beat the Bengals without Burrow. But that kind of did change things around. Then they get to the postseason, and they face the number 2, 3, 4, and 6 scoring offenses in the NFL. Won them all. And as far as what defenses Mahomes was facing, number 1, 3, and 4. He didn't face 2 because that was them, because that was their defense. So they've been unbelievable rises. And let's not forget, yeah, destroyed once they got to the big game, but they didn't get there. Joe Burrow didn't go. He didn't go to the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they all sat in their couches watching, man. Give me some. Watch the Chiefs once again in the AFC title game. 7 straight. That's the thing about it is like, you got to win in the postseason. Like, that's what matters. I bring up a stat and ask people. I'll say this. I'll ask you, because we didn't talk about this. If I said to you, who won more postseason games, Dan Marino or Joe Flacco, you would say?
Well, of course. Of course.
You'd say Marino.
Right. The casual fan might think it's got to be Dan Marino. Of course.
You would say Marino. He's 8-10, his career postseason record. You know what Flacco's is? 10-6 with a ring.
Yeah.
I mean, when he got to the postseason, different dude, man. He just was. And the bottom line is, Mahomes just wins when it matters the most. Quarterback stats in the regular season, wins, losses. I mean, Alex Smith was great at racking up wins, right? Great in the regular season, racking up wins. But you got to win the postseason, man. That's when it counts. Mahomes wins in the regular season and the postseason, right? 7 straight. He's been a starter for 7 years. He has never gone worse than the AFC title game of the Super Bowl, right? That core has played more football than any other athlete. Whether you went to NBA, NHL, anybody, they've played more football, more games in their sport than the other stars. Because when you go to February every year, you're playing all the games. I mean, you start in July in training camp, you're finishing in February. I mean, that's a long time, man. And 7 straight years he's gone to the AFC title game, which that stat gets lost on people when they talk about the Chiefs' downfall and whatever. 5 Super Bowls, that gets lost in the translation. 3 Super Bowl wins, that gets lost in translation. And the big one, Nathan, is 17 postseason wins. That scratches people's heads. They go, whoa, you kidding me? 17 postseason wins for Mahomes? Remember this team, the Chiefs, they went 21 years without winning a playoff game. 21. Babies were born and sitting in a bar with a beer legally drinking in 21 years. In the span, the Chiefs didn't win a damn playoff game.
We're spoiled, aren't we? Yeah, 17-4 playoff record after, I mean, in my childhood, I watched the team play in maybe 3 or 4 playoff games, and they were non-competitive in most of them, except for the no-punt game, as well as the Andrew Luck masterclass that happened in 2013, I thought was the biggest heartbreak you could experience in sports. And then to have Andy Reid and Alex Smith right the ship, and then Mahomes is currently 17-4 in the playoffs is unbelievable.
But even that 17 season when they lose the Titans and it was Alex Smith, there was hope, because then it was going to be Mahomes the next year.
Sure, hope. Oh yeah, it goes back to Andy Reid getting to Kansas City, of course. But the thing about the list season that just makes me it's disingenuous in my opinion to include Patrick Mahomes on the list. The conversation so clearly ends with him, and I think they would be so much more engaging, because for a few years there, Mahomes was clearly ahead of the rest of the pack, but then they would put these lists out that wouldn't have Mahomes at the top, you know, in order to get clicks, in order to get Kansas City fans upset, in order to spark discussion or whatever else. It's so clear now, we're so far even beyond that point, that you shouldn't have Mahomes on the list. The list should be best quarterback besides Mahomes, and now we can debate number one amongst the rest of them. That would be more engaging and more entertaining, and I'm being very serious about that, because you cannot have a conversation that rationalizes putting anyone else even in the discussion as him. So let's talk about, hey, who's the best of the rest? Let's talk about Burrow and Allen and Lamar, but Mahomes in the conversation just ends it for me immediately.
But the whole thing is that he's 17 postseason wins, as I was saying. Joe Montana had 16. Like, he passed Montana, right?
Yeah.
So he sits. Only Tom Brady has more.
Right.
Only Tom Brady has more. That's it. That's the Mahomes and Brady. That's the list. And yet I keep seeing the downfall, the Chiefs, and he hasn't even hit 30. He hits 30 this season. Do you realize Steve Young didn't have 3,000 yards passing in the NFL until he was in his 30s? Drew Brees had an MVP in his 30s. Tom Brady had great seasons, late 30s and the 40s. Aaron Rodgers put up MVP season in his 30s, right? I mean, all these quarterbacks did great things in their 30s. Dude hadn't even got there yet. He's got 17 postseason. Manning has 14. Manning didn't win a playoff game until year six. He's got 14 playoff wins. Mahomes has 17. Dude's not even 30. So let's stop with the whole downfall. That's your top quarterback. Regardless of argument, that's the dude.
No, and I mean, it's like I said, we're so far beyond all of these like arguments, in my opinion, that I think if, I mean, Mahomes could be, take Joe Schmo quarterback, take Joe Flacco and put his career on the back end of Mahomes here, right? Mahomes is the 15th best quarterback in the league for the rest of his career. He just falls off the planet, doesn't go to another Super Bowl. It's just an average quarterback for the next decade. He's the second greatest quarterback of all time at the end of his career.
Yeah.
He's in that conversation to where you can only compare Tom Brady to him. And he's got to the, some accolades to catch up on, some playoff
wins
to catch up on.
And he's got Brady's respect, which is
right.
Nice.
And I think he will do those things and make it more of a conversation. But to have anybody in the league currently or even on a historical basis that's not Tom Brady in the conversation is foolish and a waste of time, in my opinion.
Well, I've got the rest of the list as well. We'll get to that to let you know who the best of the rest is as far as that's concerned. But Mahomes was number one on the list that matters. Again, there's list everywhere. List everywhere. But when it's execs, scouts, and team personnel, I'll listen. I'll listen to that. But only 60%, man. What is everybody else thinking? Anyway, we'll discuss that next. Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams. The executive poll, we just went over where the actual NFL people vote on who they take, which I think is the most accurate of the polls, to be honest with you. And the All-Star game is yet to start, by the way. Yet to start. They've been on the introductions and whatnot, Nathan, but we haven't started it yet, which means that when this gets done, still plenty of time, but MLB Network will run the whole thing as soon as it's over.
Thank goodness we got a Kane Brown concert, though, Bink.
You got a Kane Brown concert, man. It's showmanship now, man. It's MLB, man. It's all show now. It's all show now with Major League Baseball. They want the younger fans. I get it. I was going to the game. I mentioned I took Gene from our Rochester station, you know, who's in that demographic that goes to ball games, right? Old school mentality. And I told him, I was like, you know, and we even stopped and talked to people, you know, just for fun. They were complaining about not having tickets anymore. They have to use their phones for. But that, I'm telling you, that's what the oldest generation is, the ones that watch baseball. It leans older, right? That's what they do. That's their demographic. And they're trying to get this new one, right? Because the older people, it's cashless too. Like they like using cash and they like having tickets. They like their parking pass, paying in cash or whatever. You can't do that anymore, man. It's constantly grabbing your cell phone or whatever for your tickets or parking passes. And the majority of people just don't like it. Like the older generation doesn't like it. That's just the bottom line.
That's right. It's accurate. And I also am like a, you know, when I was little, I was like a collect my ticket stub type of person.
Well, it's easier. Now you're looking at your cell phone, which seats am I in?
Yeah, it makes for a seamless experience, though. It's such an easy experience.
Don't get me wrong. I don't mind it at all. But I'm just saying that's where, you know, typically baseball leans. I mean, they're trying to get the younger group. I think it was cool on MLB.com. I remember being here with Alex a couple weeks ago. We were looking at it, and I was like, hey, look, because you can get updates for your favorite player. You just click on them, whatever you want, Bobby Witt or Aaron Judge or whatever, and you get emails like to your inbox or text or whatever you want about what they did in the game. Like they're scouting what they did, you know, 2 for 3 or 3 for 4, whatever. Did he hit a home run or what? So it's got the updates in your players. That's cool. That's a start. I think they should show live video feed. That's my thing. Like, show you live video feed of the top 3 players you want to see or whatever. You pay for it or whatever, but still, you get to see your player at bat, and your cell phone gives you an update right then. Hey, tune in. Watch Shohei batting right now. I just think that would be cool.
Paul Skeens is 4-8 with an ERA of 2.01.
Yeah,
I mean, that is
they're wasting him.
That is 2009 Zach Greinke on steroids.
The Pirates or the Royals, man. Royals are better, obviously. They swept them, but
No. I mean, because Greinke had he was like what 9-13 with a 2.3 ERA that year or something, and I mean, people couldn't fathom a Cy Young winner having a losing record. No, Paul Skenes is 4-8, and his ERA is at 2. That is absurd.
But he's Dayton Libby Dunn, man.
Oh,
that might be his greatest accomplishment, to be honest with you. I mean, seriously. The ERA is great and everything, but he's Dayton Libby Dunn.
I'm not hating on anything that Paul Skenes is doing.
Did you see
one thing?
Did you see Dusty go out to the stadium asking?
That was good.
That
content.
Was so good,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, and a lot of people didn't know.
It's good. What, you know, the guy who was next to his wife and acted like he didn't know who it was.
Oh, come on, he knew damn well who it was. I'll be honest with you. People knew that answer to that question more than like some of the other questions Dusty asked them, which are really easy.
Yeah,
yeah, they're all in on that. Number two on the list, by the way, is Josh Allen. Number three was Joe Burrow. They're doing these for their positions as the week goes on. Number four, Lamar Jackson. Number five, Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, he said, people are riding that. We'll see what the sophomore slump happens, but I like Jaden Daniels a ton. Matthew Stafford, six, kind of one of the old guns in here. Herbert, seven. And Goff, eight. Jalen Hurts, nine. Baker Mayfield, 10.
Hurts I'll be honest. With, Hurts is too low.
A couple things here. First of all, Herbert is finally with, he's got three head coaches now, right? I think Harbaugh is actually the answer key for him because former NFL quarterback, I think finally this is who and what he needs, but I don't know. I mean, you're starting to waste away the years. We're starting to waste away the years. He's already 27. I mean, he's got to put up or shut up at this point. It's got to be a Trevor Lawrence. I think he's better than Trevor Lawrence, but it's put up or shut up time for him. Number nine was Jalen Hurts. And to me, I think this, to be honest with you, disrespectful. The Jaden Daniels, I love Jaden Daniels. I thought he was the best quarterback coming out, and Caleb Williams, of course, got the nod at one. But Jaden Daniels, that dude's awesome, man. And it's a shame LSU didn't win more games when he was quarterback. He wins the Heisman. You know who his receivers were? Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., man. Mm. I mean, that is just absolutely – they had no defense there, but – Jaden Daniels, if I think Jalen Hurts is getting the shaft here at nine.
I think so, too.
This is a guy that's 26, been to two Super Bowls. He's won one, but he's been the two at his age, which is insane. Not only that, but he's been a Super Bowl MVP like he was last time, and he could have won it the first time. I know he had the big turnover against the Chiefs and Bolton and all that, but had they won that game, it probably would have been him as well. So he would have two MVPs and two rings, still got one and one MVP. To me, at 26 years old, he's getting the shaft being nine.
I think, yeah. I think between maybe two, three, and four, I agree with the order, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar. And I think you could end that tier there saying, you know, if you're above this line, the top four quarterbacks in the league today are like so clearly historically great, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar, in terms of they have traits that we have not seen before. After that, I don't think you can go any lower before mentioning Jalen Hurts, and that's just based on accomplishments. I think Jalen Hurts has to have that number five spot out of respect for the playoff wins, for the success that he's had. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's
and
won
I get
one
the
of them.
Defense was the main catalyst for that, but he was the MVP.
But and then, you know, I would probably go Daniel 6, Stafford 7, Herbert 8, and then you got the Goffs and Bakers and stuff beyond that. But no, I think if you're excluding Hurts from the top five, That doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't hit my ear correctly.
I'll say this much is with what he's done, and I get it. You know, you look at Saquon Barkley in that backfield all year. I mean, clearly at 2,000 yards, Saquon was awesome. And that defense was the best in the league. But still, you get to the bowl
right.
and you win it. And
the argument's not Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the league. It's he's fifth. And so I'm not putting him above one of those guys that I, you know, believe is all time great. I think Lamar Jackson's skill set, you know, makes him an elite quarterback, a Hall of Fame level quarterback, just based on skill alone. I'm not arguing Jalen Hurts is better than him. I'm arguing he's better than a guy like Jaden Daniels or Justin Herbert, who might have tools, but has not yet done anything with it. And so, you know, Jalen Hurts, I don't think on a skill level is the same as those guys, but you look at, I mean, look at the Super Bowls he's played in. He's made a couple of really good throws. One this last year to Devonta Smith that was down the middle of the field in good coverage that he caught for a touchdown. And the one that blows me away is the one that he threw to A.J. Brown in the first half of the last one. And I understand he just put it up there and floated it, but you had Trent McDuffie on A.J. Brown. It's just as likely that he comes down with that ball when it leaves hurts his hand. It goes 50, 60 yards in the air and, you know, hits the pylon where only A.J. Brown could catch it. He's made some big plays in big moments. We won't talk about dropping the football.
I mean, the Super Bowl, he's 17-22.
Ran back.
77% completion.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns there. I mean, he had 11 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown as well. Got the job done, man.
I think it's disrespectful to not have
I like Jaden a ton. Don't get me wrong. I like Jaden a ton, but might be too early for that. Josh Allen, I get it. Listen, I mean, they scored 30 points a game last year, and not a lot of people can name a lot of skill positions on their offense. He did it with Spoke, but 30 points a game he did with, again, I look at quarterbacks who do the most with less, like Mahomes. Allen's that way too. And I get, you know, Lamar probably put up better numbers than Josh did last year, but Lamar had better skill positions too. Plus, he had Derrick Henry in that backfield, which made a difference.
Lamar and Burrow both, and that's why I think Allen is clearly the number two, because I've seen him go to the playoffs and win games and take teams to the playoffs with skill position guys that maybe aren't as great as you've seen in Baltimore and Cincinnati. That's what makes him different than those two in my mind. And yeah, Jaden Daniels, if he does what he did last year, the next two or three seasons, I think he'll enter that conversation as well. I think for right now, though, based on what he's accomplished, you can't say he's above Jalen Hurts.
But it's just, dude was 26-2 in college. That's when Saban made that switch at halftime to Tua. I mean, it was a historic type of move. But anyway, I did find that stuff interesting as far as where they had him. And they did coaches as well. Do you think Andy Reid got any respect on this?
I hope so.
He might have. We'll talk about that next. So Skeens goes 1-2-3, right? Two strikeouts. Scooble hadn't exactly mowed him down, has he? Because I see Acuna on base now.
A couple of soft contact singles from Otani and Acuna.
So Otani got on two.
Yeah, but the NL has definitely got something brewing here. What about Marlins, man, in the fourth row? Times are tough, man. Inflation's hitting everybody. He's not even in the first row.
Yeah, he didn't get in the first row.
Man.
Wow. You ever sat right behind home plate?
I have been Kauffman? Lucky enough to sit in the crown seats twice.
Really?
Yeah. It's been, it's, oh man. And I was thinking that the other day at the Whittison, you know, lookalike contest when that guy gets to go to the crown seats with Cody and Gold, and then there's a rain delay at the start of the game. I mean, just think about
all the food inside or drink delivered to you too, right?
So. Yeah.
I did Diamond Club, which is right behind that, which it's not the Crown Club. It's pretty damn nice, though.
Crown Club's amazing.
Well, I mean, I think Diamond Club is fun, too, and that's, you know, cheaper than Crown Club.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a great time. Yeah. I went Friday and Saturday. A little hour and a half rain delay on Friday night. A little pop-up storm.
Well, same thing on Sunday. The rest of the Metro wasn't getting rain.
I didn't see a drop of rain, and all of a sudden the Royals game's delayed, and I'm like, what the hell, man?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it was. Well, by the way, Ketel Marte did just knock in a couple of runs. So, yeah, I know the NL's up 2-0.
Oh, 2-0 now on Scooble. Scooble's getting lit up.
Freeman's hitting, and the whole Atlanta crowd is standing. He got a good ovation. It's a pretty cool scene how much they still love Freddie in Atlanta.
We'll get to more on that later. We'll talk about the Royals and the second half of the season for the Royals. What do we expect? Sell or buy? That's the question. Of course, this kind of goes back and forth each way, to be honest with you, Nathan. Sometimes on sell mood. Sometimes I'm in buy mood. I think it just depends on the series, right? As far as that Mets series, I was going, okay, didn't like it. But then they'll go and play a bad team like the Pirates, and all of a sudden you're back in the buy mood, you know? See where they go. NFL coaches. Now, this is not an executive one. This is not executives picking it. This was CBS picking it. Can you, out of all 32 head coaches, can you guess where Andy Reid was?
I would guess first.
Yes, you are right. They get these right. See, we're starting to get like lists that are right at this point. And like, I'm curious if you don't think he should be it. Now, does he ever sniff Coach of the Year? No. Is he number one on all these lists? Yeah. Why didn't he win Coach of the Year? You say, well, Coach of the Year is ridiculous, like Comeback Player of the Year. You know, like Comeback Player of the Year, like J.J. McCarthy is one of the favorites for it. He didn't even play last year, right? There's nothing to come back from. He was a rookie.
He hasn't played, period.
There's nothing to come back from. Now, typically, if a guy didn't play, now, Joe Burrow, I felt, deserved it, right? Didn't play. He's won it twice now. It comes, that, to me, is the spirit of the award. The spirit of the award is not if you sucked and then are good, but it's if you were hurt
100%.
And then come back and you're good. But you got to have a track record, right? Not McCarthy. So they actually told the voters that's what they need to start thinking about. So that makes sense. The coach of the year needs that same kind of push. Stefanski's won it twice in Cleveland. Twice! He's won it more than Andy Reid. Reid's won it once. Reid's been to 6 Super Bowls. Stefanski hasn't sniffed the Super Bowl. He'd be lucky to get invited to Radio Row.
Stefanski's...
Matt Nagy has won it once.
Only made it to the divisional round once, and that was against Reid and the Chiefs?
Yeah, so it's a joke. He's won it twice.
Yeah. It's the best new coach award.
Yeah, it is.
Who's the best young new coach?
Also, like, Belichick did find a way, I think, to win it like 3 times. But the bottom line is, they're saying basically if you suck and then you're good, you win it. Like, if Andy Reid went 4-13, the next year he'd probably win it, right? Which is unfair. Because to me, it's harder to keep being good and great, what he's doing, than do it the opposite, right? Because you have the bullseye on your back. Everybody's gunning for you. But yet, you consistently win. I think he's like 12 wins a year in his career with the Chiefs since he's been 13. His worst record's 9-7. That's the mark of consistency. You know where he sits on the all-time list for coaching wins, just regular season, postseason? 4. You know where he sits on the postseason win list in NFL history? In the history of the game, Nathan, where would you say he is?
In terms of playoff wins?
Playoff
amongst
wins.
Head coaches?
Postseason wins. Could be Super Bowl or postseason.
Yeah, Andy Reid's got to be... I mean, the only one that's got that could be far ahead of him is Belichick. He's got to be in that 2 or 3 range.
He's just like Mahomes. He's 2. But he's not 4. He's as close as me and you. If we were playing the game, they'd say warmer, warmer, warmer. Belichick has 31 postseason wins. Andy Reid has 28. That's one postseason run, and he passes Belichick. Now, you might think, how in the hell does that happen? Well, he went to 5 NFC title games and the Super Bowl with the Eagles. So those count because postseason wins. It's not like he just came to Kansas City and was good. No, he was on the doorstep all the time of the Super Bowl in Philly. Just couldn't punch that ticket except for once. And he didn't win it. But he's got 28, man. Like, that's insanity. Like, that is another stat that people don't realize what he's done in the game. And Kelce, too, for being washed, he had 97 catches, right? Get this stat, too. He has the record for most consecutive seasons with at least 80 catches in the NFL, but 9. The most consecutive. It's his record, right? Do you know only Larry Fitzgerald has 8 catches of 90-plus yards? Or 90-plus catches. Kelce's at 7. He can tie Larry Fitzgerald for the only 2 people in the history of the game with 90-plus catches in 8 seasons. The only difference is his would be consecutive. Like, isn't that just insane numbers? Like, the Chiefs are just putting up these numbers, and you sit there and you pitch, and whoa. Like, when you go to 5 straight Super Bowls, you go to 7 straight AFC title games, meaning you're playing a lot of playoff games, meaning you're starting to build up those numbers, man. You're building up those numbers in postseason. That's what we look back on. That's the stuff that matters. That's the stuff in 20 years and 30 years you look back and say, wow, they really did that? Like, we're in the cusp of now. We're in the midst of it. And it's just going right in one ear and out the other. I mean, 17 playoff wins for this dude. That when he was drafted, everybody wanted Deshaun Watson instead of him. But yet he's got 17 postseason wins for a town that went 21 freaking years without a playoff win. And this dude's got 17. But yet I'm sitting here on a postgame show, when I did the Chiefs postgame. You know, they wanted Reid fired. They want Mahomes, like, to sit. They want all this. This is what people want, because they want instant gratification, instant satisfaction now. What have you done for me now? Like, if they win by just 5 points or 3 points or whatever, people get mad. But the bottom line is, you still win. And I even said, in a couple years, you're going to look back and you're going to see a W and an L. And that's the only thing that's going to matter to you. It's not going to matter if there's a block kick at the end of the game to win, a Harrison Butker 49-yard field goal. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is a W and an L.
So if you had to guess on the FanDuel odds right now for this season's Coach of the Year award, where would you put Andy Reid from 1 to 32? 1 being the favorite, 32 being the least favorite. Where would you put him on that list if you had to guess?
I'd probably say 6 or 7.
He is tied with John Harbaugh and Nick Sirianni for the least likely coach to win Coach of the Year. Andy Reid is. So they're tied for 30th, I guess. Plus 7,500. The most favorable is Ben Johnson, our new coach.
Everybody loves
him. They're looking as though they're going to win a few more games than they did the year before. Vrabel second. Liam Cohn third. Aaron Glenn fourth. It's just a who takes over a new team and improves the most.
I forgot about the new. That'll shift and change.
Andy Reid is the least likely to win Coach of the Year right
he
now.
He will move way up once the season starts. He'll get in the top 10 real soon. Yeah. But he won't win it. He won't even sniff it. It's just like these NFL awards they have before the Super Bowl, a couple nights before it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs aren't even in the running for it. Yeah. When they do Coach of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year, like KC ain't it, man.
Yeah.
All they do is just keep going to the game and winning. What they're saying is you need to suck or be new to be Coach of the Year. You can't be great and have consistency, because that is what matters in professional sports, is consistency. And what they're saying is if you're consistent, you can't win it. And the fact that he's won it one time in his career is pathetic.
I'll take the Super Bowls.
Pathetic that he's fourth all-time in wins, second all-time in postseason wins, one Coach of the Year. That is disrespectful. That is dumb. That is people not doing their homework. That is insanity. Kevin Stefanski doesn't even belong to have two when Reid has one.
Yeah, and real quick, Bink, before we head to break here, we did see an ABS challenge in the bottom of the first inning.
Was it a player or a catcher?
With two strikes on Machado, threw what he thought was a strike, and both he and Cal Raleigh tapped the head. It was overturned. Machado was struck out. So
really?
It was a successful ABS challenge. First one in the All-Star game. You were talking about Kevin Stefanski over there.
Yeah.
You get real passionate about Kevin Stefanski. Just wanted to keep you posted on what's going on. But we see
Kershaw's out there now
challenge.
Dealing, man. He got the commissioner's all-time great type exemption in the All-Star game.
Yeah, and Robert,
the commissioner did a great job throwing the exemptions, because guess what? Bubich wasn't going to go, or Witt, except for the commissioner put him in.
Yeah. Yep. And Roberts is pulling him before the end of the inning, so I think he's going to get his ovation here. And this got to be his last year. Have we had an announcement yet, or is it like unofficial that this is the end for Kershaw?
Do you know what Stafford did in high school, or Kershaw did in high school?
Well, they were buddies. I know
he
that.
He was the center for Matt Stafford, rarely see an elite pitcher be on the offensive line. You see them be in the receiver or something like that, but Kershaw was Stafford's center down in the Dallas Metroplex.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was. High school teammates. I don't know if he played his senior year, and I think no, his junior year, but then he might have switched all to baseball because it was a lead arm, but you don't see that very often. So that was the battery there with Stafford and Kirk. Can you imagine the high school game going out, you know, Friday night, you're paying the $5 to get in, and you're sitting there and watching Stafford and Kershaw. You're looking at a guy with the World Series ring and the Super Bowl ring, you know, two of the greatest to ever do it.
Like, a couple of those guards on those teams are telling their kids some pretty cool stories.
I mean, if Kershaw and Stafford in your locker room, come on, man. Come on, it's insanity. Anyway, something else is coming back in the National Football League before we switch to some Kansas City Royals at 8 o'clock. But something pretty cool is going to happen. Do you want to see it here? That's my question. We'll talk about that next. Come back. Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams producing the operation. Well, Skeen's got, two runs for run support? He's probably not used to this, Nathan, that he had those kind of hitters behind him and has a 2-0 lead when he's facing Tariq Skubal. He's got to be thinking, what the hell, man?
It's got to be on Twitter already about how many outings he's had two runs in during his career. You know what I mean? I'm sure someone's got
like
that.
Seven out of his last 20 starts, he's had at least this many run support.
By the way, Jason Adam just struck out Ryan O'Hearn in the matchup of
Broherne.
Yeah.
Broherne with the Royals. We'll talk more about this All-Star game. We'll talk about the home run derby and some clapping going on for a certain player that I just couldn't believe. But did you see what has been going viral lately in the NFL? Because they love to do the videos. The throwback jerseys, but which are cool. I mean, I think the Oilers are awesome when they're back in Houston. You see the Titans rock them and whatever. But the Bucs, did you see the Bucs? They're wearing their 1976 inaugural uniforms. Right, but they wore them 1 year. That's it. The white jerseys with the orange numbers rather than the red. Orange numbers, they wore these 1 year. It's like their 50th anniversary, so they're throwing back to those. They're going to wear those in their home opener. And I know the Buccaneers have worn, you know, the creamsicles before and stuff, but never have won the white on white. This one that they're going to wear from 76. I saw them and I'm like, man, that is a blast from the past from a crappy football team that I don't care. But I like those jerseys and the Falcons, you know, release the throwback they're going to be doing. But all these teams are doing it, man. The Chargers did theirs today, too, by the way. They've got now 8 different uniform combinations. 8. They're becoming the Oregon Ducks of the NFL. It's yellow jerseys they got. But did you happen to notice those Buccaneers, man? Because that was some sweet stuff.
The Chargers are the Arizona Diamondbacks of the NFL. Yeah, no, these Buccaneers jerseys are sick.
Oh, the Diamondbacks have a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. No, those are cool jerseys, and I love you mentioned the Falcons as well. I love their cool throwbacks. Oh yeah.
I mean, I remember when the Chiefs were the Dallas Texans that one game. I thought they were still pretty cool. I mean, there's relatively few things the Chiefs can do because they've kept the same uniforms, which I respect that. And you know, I don't know where you stand on the Royals having new stuff. Like, you know, I mentioned I brought Gene to the games this weekend, and you know, the Royals, you know, home games, but they didn't wear, you know, the traditional white, mm-hmm. right? Because Friday night, it was the Steady Connects. Mm-hmm. And then Saturdays, they wore the powder blue pants, powder blue jerseys with the white hat, which is also their batting practice hat, but it's different. So, and then Sundays, they wear the powder blue jersey with the white pants. So you're not seeing white on white except for Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, I like the Royals rotations and uniforms. I think, you know, just having the ever since they ditched those black ones,
I like those, man. I like those.
I'm fine with them as well. But ever since they got rid of them, they had the whites and the grays and then the powder blues. And then it was that road alternate jersey that they used to wear a lot more, those dark blue jerseys. I'm a big fan of those.
Those are cool. You see them rocking those on Sundays on the road a lot.
I like the City Connects look good. I did not like they did it for probably 5 years after the World Series where they wore the gold lettering on Friday nights.
First year is fine. 16 wearing that in 2016 is fine, but they milked that bad boy, man.
They did. And so, but I like everything currently that the Royals wear. I think some of these teams do it the Diamondbacks are the ones I come back to when it's like a different shade of purple or green every time you're looking at them. And I'm like,
now it's the white on white at home for the D-backs. And then they'll wear the red. It says Diamondbacks on it, but on the road it's Arizona, and then the all black, and then the black hat on the road, and the red one at home, and sometimes the red with the black. I mean, that's got to be pretty confusing if you're a team manager. I think the Diamondbacks got a good look, though.
I like the color scheme. I like most of the uniform combinations. I just think it's too much, too many of them.
The Royals, they do this, I think they're going to be doing it at the end of the year with the Mariners because that's what their Back to the Future night was mm-hmm. where they did it a long time ago. Remember the gold Royals mm-hmm. jerseys? But they, for some reason, they always do this with the Mariners.
Yeah.
They do this theme with them. The Royals are fine. There was the thought that on the road it would only be the grays like there were in the night. So Kansas City across them, those are sweet-looking jerseys. Mm-hmm. And then the blue that they'll mix in, like you said, once in a while. But they do mix in those powder blues on the road like they do at home. Their Saturday uniform, you will see that on the road sometimes too. And it was supposed to be just Saturdays at home, but it's made its way. Well, the players get to choose, so it's made its way on the road. The powder blues are cool, man. I'll be honest with you. And I do like that new hat.
Yeah, I'm a fan. And I'm glad that the Chiefs don't change their look up. I like their look.
My favorite Penn State for being that, for Alabama, for being Alabama, for the Chiefs being Chiefs. I mean, it's just something you can rely on and count on. I know people want to see the alternate jersey of the all blue.
Can't do another Facebook edit of them in a yellow or a black jersey.
The black matted helmet would be cool.
I am so far out on that stuff.
I would be for that.
So far out. The classic red top, white pant, or the white on white. Every day of the week.
Black helmet, though. Like, no. I would be for that.
No. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Would you be for white on white with a white helmet and a red arrowhead?
Yes.
You like that?
Yes.
You never know what they're going to do because even the traditional teams are starting to, like, Notre Dame wears a bunch of different stuff now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. But the City Connects for the Royals, I'll be honest with you, because I was talking to Gene because he's not a fan of City Connects with the different cities. And I agree, a lot of them look really bad. And his own Mets look like crap. Their City Connect, they have like the Brooklyn Bridge on their hat. I mean, it looks dumb. And the Padres, not a fan of theirs, or the Mariners, the Pirates. I don't like their City Connects. But the Royal City Connects is pretty classy. The only downfall is they got to change it now. You only get that thing for like 2 years. You know that? Then you got to change it. So the City Connect look, I think, for the Royals actually really connects. It's really a pretty good-looking jersey. I digress. But coming up next, J.J. Piccolo, GM of the Kansas City Royals, joined Cody and Gold as he does every couple of weeks. And had some interesting things to say about kind of looking forward for the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about where they sit now. Would you buy? Would you sell? Are you in on the Royals? You out on the Royals? Where do you sit right now? And we'll talk about that next.